The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 11th of November, if you can believe it, 2017. As I say to everybody, we do this all the time now. Stand up, take a big deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a winner, I am a champion. Why do we do that? Because those two verses there alone will get you thinking in a positive direction. And with all the things that are going on today in the world, I feel more than ever that everybody, it doesn't matter how old you are, it is good to say things like that to yourself because it makes you become those two things. The more you say things like that to yourself, the greater you will become and the more you will be able to do not only for yourself, but you'll be able to go out and help other people that maybe are struggling. So think about those two things all the time. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Write it on index cards. Put them on the mirror in your bathroom. Put them on the mirror in your bedroom. Have them visible, or like I do, I take them and write them out and carry them right in my pocket. And I'll pull them out and read them all the time. So that's something to really think about. Also, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Winner Circle. That is our top product to date. There's 13 modules on there that'll change your life. Each module, other than the 13th one, is a minimum of 35 minutes. There's enough data on there for a third of your life to train with. And we are going to be doing more video for it, but my whole idea is now, as I said in a blog post the other day, think and stretch. If you're not thinking and you're not stretching, it's going to be very hard to get big places. So we're going to get into more and more of this, but think on those two words. Think and stretch. Also, contribute to Fiorello Barbell Co. and Motivation Muscle. If you go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, there's a contribute page there, $25. You get the first module on the winner's circle called The Beginning. $50 will get you The Beginning and a half an hour of time with me. $100 will get you The Beginning and two free half hours of consultation. It goes right to my PayPal account, so you go in, select whichever one you would like. You're in and out of there super quick, and we thank you in advance because right now things are tight. There's a lot of good things going on, and 2018 looks like it is going to be a blockbuster year here. So it takes time like everything to build, but that's the way it is. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go out and look at, we got a big show today, and before I bring both of these gentlemen in, we have Charlie Oliphant on here, and we have his son, Lawrence. And if you haven't seen him either out on Facebook or out on Etched in Stone, this young man is very impressive, an Atlas stone lifter at 7 years old. I think so much of these kids, man. And the whole idea with Etched for Kids and everything and these shows now is we want to go out and show kids of all ages that nothing is impossible. And with the right kind of training and with people like Charlie and myself and, you know, you got Douglas Graham and Martin Janzicks and on and on and on, Stevie Shanks, I mean, these guys are just impeccable people. And they believe in what they do, and we're going to bring you a doubleheader today that I'm sure is going to, it's going to go in the record books of Eminem, and I'm very pleased. So go out there, go out and look at all the shows Charlie and I have done. Also, too, if you'd like to get on our newsletter, it's on motivationmuscle.com. It's right on the homepage. Select that. That goes to my MailChimp account. If there's anything else, and I believe we got rid of all of it, and you sign on to it, it will not go anywhere. So please go out there and sign up. And one thing I say before I read about when I give you all the information on Charlie is this. May we all live among the brave forever. And that's very important. You know, Douglas and I were going back and forth the other day, and we got really into a lot of stuff about words because something went on with him. And I said, well, to tell you this, we just did a show, Roger and I. And we were going back and forth, and I said to him, because Mark and a few other people wanted to use the verse I gave out, and I just came up with it as I was writing. I said, I'll be waiting for you all with stone in hand. And they're like, do you mind if we use that? I said, you can push it all over the planet. That's what it's all about. Big stuff. Now, I'm going to give you a little information on Charlie. And obviously, like I said, we have his son Lawrence with us. But I'm going to give you a little bit here about Charlie. Number one, he's a stone lifter, a farmer, a Highlands Game competitor. And if you listen to our last show, he went over to Ireland and he lifted the Shank stones. And we might even hit upon that again because, you know, Stevie had sent a little bit back and forth and, you know, it had a picture of Stevie lifting them. It's just incredible stuff. So, Lawrence, Charlie, welcome to the show. Lawrence, thank you for coming on. It's great to have you both.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Charlie?
Yeah, thanks for having us back. Well, thanks for having me back, particularly. And I know Lawrence is excited to have a chat with you. I should just say that my daughter Diana here, who's five, is on my knee.
Yeah.
She's listening intently to what's going on. Do you want to quickly say hello anyway, Diana?
Hi.
Hi.
There you go. So that was Diana. But we'll see how things work out. But yeah, absolutely great. Looking forward to having a chat. And I was with some degree of trepidation, wondering what Lawrence is going to say.
That's all right because kids are honest, and that's all right with me. Whatever.
No, that's what worries me, Eric.
Well. unless you're running from the law, Charlie, I'm not really worried about it. Lawrence, let's start off with you a little bit. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. I know you're 7 years old. What do you like to do? I mean, obviously, we're going to get into the Atlas Stones, you know, with the Ard Blairs and all that. But tell everybody. I mean, you're a 7-year-old young man. I have a 7-year-old nephew. He just came off of Halloween. They went out and got him the full suit and the Incredible Hulk top, and he looked outstanding. So tell everyone out there what you like and a little bit about yourself, if you would, please.
My name is Lawrence, and I really like building stuff and getting stronger.
Okay. What do you like to do to get stronger?
So I like to I do lots of sports, I also like to build stuff and by lifting the big planks of wood that I'm gonna be carving.
Yeah.
They're quite heavy and that's helping me kind of getting stronger because they're really heavy planks and I have to lift them.
Yeah, that's great stuff because it's the little things like that that start building you up and building you up. Now, obviously your dad is quite a stone lifter. There's no doubt about it. He's a very accomplished strong man. When did you realize, do you remember when you first realized and you said to yourself, my dad is very strong. What made you start thinking that your father was a strong man?
It's because when he started lifting really big, heavy stuff.
Yeah.
They were really big and they looked really heavy, which made me think he's really strong.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. This is interesting now because it's interesting. A lot of my friends' fathers were athletes and stuff like that, and their sons didn't really follow into stuff like that. They played it, but they were different in context where it didn't, you know, certain sports really make you want to play them. What made you when, obviously, you know, we saw recently this year you lifting some Atlas stones. What was it, do you have a great interest in it? Do you feel that maybe down the road you might want to go anymore with it? Or do you just, for right now, is it something you just like to do?
It's just something I like to do.
That's good. Because you know what? The worst thing you can do is just do things because other people are doing them and your heart's not truly into it. But I will tell you this. This is what I've learned from starting out lifting weights at 10 years old. One, if you have the desire, you're going to know, obviously, for sure. Just to give you my little background, when I started with a set of sand weights. So if you, obviously, I'm sure you know from your dad's stuff, you've seen the plates on a bar and all that. Well, I don't know if you've ever seen sand weights, but that's they're a little bit different. It's sand in a plastic, it looks like a plastic barbell, okay? And I've always played organized sports, football, baseball. I loved all that stuff. But the one thing I noticed when I put my hands on a barbell for the first time, I knew that was the thing I wanted to do for as long as I could do it. There was just some type of different feeling than it was with the other sports. Do you feel any of that when you grab the Atlas stones, or right now are you, you know, you're a young kid. Do you want to go out and play everything you can, and maybe you'll say, well, maybe the stones are for me. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, I probably lift stones for quite a long time.
Good man. Do you follow football? Do you follow any American sports you like?
Not really.
That's okay. Well, what other sport? I mean, obviously, if you weren't lifting stones, what's something? Soccer's big with you guys. What is it you think you would like to do as you get a little bit older?
Golf.
Really? Wow.
And ice hockey.
I love hockey. I played a lot of hockey as a kid. I love hockey.
Swimming.
You like swimming? Those are great sports. I liked hockey because it was so tough. We did play some organized stuff, but we used to have a huge park. It's by my house now, and they used to freeze a big rink, and we would play, and we didn't have any equipment to wear, and I'll tell you, I used to come home with welts from getting whacked with a stick or, you know, the puck. It was very interesting stuff. But, you know, it was street hockey, basically, on ice skates. But it was a lot of fun. I'm going to just shift off to your dad right now. We'll get right back to you, Lawrence. Charlie, you've got a very interesting son. He speaks very well on cue. Excellent. Let me ask you a question. I mean, you're around kids. Obviously, you have a son and daughter. What do you see? Do you know, especially with the Ard Blair stones, we know I've watched so much video. What is it, do you think, that intrigues? I mean, and I know you've got all different age groups, and we can hit upon that down the road. What do you think it is with the kids, though? Is it the whole atmosphere with, you know, the games going on around them and all that? But what do you think it is that, because we don't have that in America. I mean, nobody pushes stones here anyways, but what is it about the kids and the Ard Blair stones?
Well, it probably is a Highland Games related thing. You're saying that because the atmosphere is right,
yeah,
and there's,
yeah,
people competing and throwing things, and then the stones are all set up and they want to do that and get involved in the games. And I'm pretty sure that it's probably wrong for me to express this opinion, but it wouldn't at all surprise me if the kids in America are keen to do this stuff.
I agree with you.
To do,
yep,
it.
Yep.
But it's just that possibly the lack of opportunity, and I know there are Highland Games in America which are vast and huge, and if somebody was to do something similar, then I've no doubt that it would be popular and it would take off.
Yeah, I agree.
The kids just need an outlet to do it. I don't think there's any difference between the Scottish kids and the American kids.
No.
It's just that we have access to it more easily over here.
Well, you know, Charlie, Jason Gillen the other day sent a thing through Facebook to me. He goes, I'd love to see you organize something like that. I said, well, you know, right now we're looking at making the radio station, everything go crazy. Now, I'm not saying that couldn't happen, And that's one of the things on the list. You know, I think right now, you know, you and I have talked on previous shows not only about kids, but about adults. I think the world is starving for stuff like that. You know, like I said, Maggie, my niece, she's 9, and Danny is 7. And the whole family, excuse me, is very sports-oriented, you know, running, volleyball, the whole thing. But I see in those two little kids, when you bring a sandbag over to them, and we've got small stones here, and when they come over here, like I told you, they're out flipping a 15-inch tire, et cetera, et cetera. There is a hunger in these kids. This is what I love about kids is this. When they want to do something, they go and do it. I mean, you know, within obviously boundaries with your parents and your uncles or whatever. Now, this is why I feel over here, something like you do with the kids in Scotland, it would be absolutely incredible here. I don't care if it is with stones initially or we work with sandbags and stuff, because there's a different feel for this stuff, and they love going up and going after things like this. And I see with the two of them, the way they do things, the way they behave, how much fun they have. They come over here, they ask me before they're even in the door, can we go out in the back and do the strongman stuff? Not only that, like the last time Danny was here, that was late summer, I wanted to do some more rototilling on one part of the garden. Now, the handle to pull it is taller than Danny. He's up to, like, his chin's up to the handle. And I said, do you want to go do it? And he's like, yeah. So, you know, I put him in front of me, and I pulled the handle back so it would engage it, and away we went. And he and I went up and down that garden over and over and over, and he loved it. My sister said the first thing he did when he came in the house, totally excited, was, because they call me Uncle H. Uncle H and I, we rototilled his garden over and over again. So, you know, and he went home. I mean, he was all dirt and everything. I helped him clean. You know, he cleaned his hands and all that. But this is what I'm saying with kids. There's measurable things here. And the things I love to do with them is they just do it because they like to do it. There's no trepidation. There's no like, well, you know, am I going to get hurt or whatever. It's this idea where I can go in and do it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, and we do it. And it wouldn't be fantastic if some of us older people could drop all that stuff of being afraid of doing things and went in and do it, because you'd be a heck of a lot happier. And it's just fun to go out and do new things. So I'll send it to Charlie, and then we're going to go right to Lawrence. Charlie, I mean, what do you think about that? You know, you see enough of it. You see enough of the kids. You see how kids like to go after things, you know, like, as they say, tooth and nail. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I mean, I've seen some really, really competitive kids at the Arbeless Stones. And anybody who's there who's doing it is not being forced or obviously pressurized.
Right,
into
right,
it.
Right.
They're there because they want to be. And yep. So they might be there with a brother or a friend or a group of friends. And of course the pressure on is to try and do a bit better than their friends, but their friends will always be supportive. There's no animosity or anything
right.
So of course, you know, they want to do the best they possibly can under the circumstances. So, it's a great thing. I should say that when you're talking to Lawrence, he's actually quite humble, and when he's kind of like growing up around this stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't actually think he thinks it's anything particularly unusual.
Right.
So I think sort of to be asked about it as something he has to think about.
Yeah.
I think is a bit strange for him, because it's something like, if I have the farm here, to work on the farm, so he sees the farm. Stuff. And rather like the stones and the stuff I do, it's just part of life for him. And he's probably in his head thinking, you know, I do this, yeah, sure, but doesn't everybody do it?
Right, and exactly.
Trying to get his head around it. And, yeah, so I mean, he could go on nauseam, I suspect, you know, things you wanted to.
Yeah.
I think that, it'll be interesting, you know, what he's got to say and everything, but he's seen a lot and he's been around a lot and he's been to a lot of gyms and things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of interesting people and obviously done the stone lifting himself and, met a lot of kids of other stone lifters, friends of mine, and he's obviously been up and seen the dinnies and he's put his hands on the handles. And
I know.
But I don't want to put words into his mouth, obviously, but he's sitting there looking at me at the moment.
There's
an interesting wealth of untapped knowledge there, which maybe from an outsider's perspective, it's really, really, really interesting. I want to get the information out of him, but for him, it's just the way of life. It's
yeah.
just normal. You know?
Well, it's very interesting because when I saw that picture last weekend, I think it was, of him standing between the Denny stones with his hands around the handles, I got to tell you, Lawrence, I wish I was standing right there with you. I intend to come over next year, but I got to tell you, I know you've grown up around it and everything, but let me tell you something. It's an honor what you're doing there, to be part of history, to be standing there at 7 years old. I got to tell you, I admire what you do. It's something that, to me, to be part of tradition like that and to have the honor to lift them and be around people that are all the same mindset, they want to get there, compete, get them off the ground, as they say, the wind beneath. I just think it's a super thing. And so the question I'm going to ask you here is this. You've been around you've been very lucky to have gone to gyms and be around strong men and women. What is it about that? What can you draw from that? Tell me what is it you feel? Do you feel part of it? Do you feel super strong when you're around these gentlemen and ladies? What is it that impresses you the most about all of this, if you can put it in words?
It's to me or Lawrence you're referring to, Eric?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
What's that? Well, no, I was just wondering, what is it about all of this that impresses him the most?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Well, recently, we were at Andy Kearney's gym, OBS.
Yep.
And we were all mucking about down there, and I did some dinny lifts and everything, and Lawrence was there, and Dan was there. So it might be quite interesting if Lawrence, I could ask him if he can tell me what some of his favorite bits were of
sure.
being at the gym and seeing Andy and John Pollock was there and a few other sort of notable lifters, and we all had a great time and a bit of lifting. So, Lawrence, why don't you tell Eric about what it's like?
It was fun because when we went there for the Halloween party,
yeah.
There was like a little thing that you pulled down with your hands.
Yep.
But I made it super heavy with the thing, but instead of pulling it down and up, I did sometimes pull it down and up. Sometimes as well, I made it really heavy, but I can actually go down. So instead, I did pull-ups.
Oh, cool! Very good. You got a good grip.
Yeah.
Yeah? So if you shake, when you shake somebody's hand, like my pop used to always tell me, a good firm handshake and look them in the eyes when you see them?
Yeah.
Yep, see, now you got it. I got to tell you something. You know more at 7 years old how to shake somebody's hand than people three or four times your age. I have shook many hands in my life. And the majority of them do not have a firm handshake, and they can't look you in the eyes. And I'm going to give you a little tip my father used to tell me. If someone shakes your hands and can't look you in the eyes, you do not want to do business with somebody like that because there's a chance that they might not be what you think they are. Maybe not every time, but my father was pretty wise, and I always listened to those two words. I'm going to ask you another question, and we're going to send it to your dad. You've probably seen the inverse stone, the Denny stones. I don't know if you've ever seen the Husafell stone. Obviously, a stone that you know about, is there a particular stone as you get a little bit older and you continue doing this? Is there a stone you've got or stones that you've got your eye on that you would like to lift as you get a little bit older as a young man?
The Denny stones?
Yeah, that's fine. Boy, you went for a big one there. That's a big record. But that's what you want to do. You set your standards high and your goals high, and you will get them. Charlie, obviously you've got a gem there as a son, and it's going to be very. It's fun to see kids because obviously I'm going to have an eye out on him for a long time among my own nephew and stuff like that. And, you know, it's very interesting to see what's been around these children. You know, obviously, like Danny, too, there's been strength around him since the day he could open his eyes. And he knows it. I mean, I've read this thing, I think, before. Maybe I didn't with you. Last Thanksgiving, you know, my sister has big family, so we all go there. And Madeline, who we call Madge, who this kid is an incredible, this is the one that can fall into a wrestler's bridge and hold it and do handstands. She's the smallest one out of all of them. She's unbelievably strong. And she wrote little cards where everybody would sit and put it there. And it had a little verse about everything, about everyone that was in the family. I never threw it away. It's on my mirror here right in front of me, with the pictures of the kids and everything. It says this: I'm thankful for you because you teach me how to be strong. Now, you see, you know, like when you're talking about Lawrence and being around all these strong men and in the different gyms and being with you in these different events, do you see now? I mean, people discount kids, man. Now, I never said that to Madeline, to write that down. Nobody told her to. And you see how kids observe you and are around you. And this is why I say this over and over, and I've been going, you know, really hard on this lately. Kids are always watching you. And we all make mistakes and say things, I know that. But there's always somebody in an eye on you. And I think that we have the ability, especially the things you and I do, to really lead kids. No one's saying you got to lift a 400-pound stone. But the beauty of all the stuff that we do, if they show an interest, I don't know any sport, really, that you can bring it down to any level like what we like to do. And you can train children or any age group on it. So give me your feelings on all that, please.
Well, yeah, it's a huge responsibility as a parent, obviously. You have to be sensible what you do because obviously the kids are looking and listening at everything, and
yep,
they might repeat something you'd rather they haven't and you'd even mentioned it. So it does happen occasionally. So they're very attentive.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's responsibility. And certainly in Lawrence's case, in terms of the sort of strength culture and fitness world and everything, it does seem to be something which Lawrence has picked up. And I've never really pressurized or pushed Lawrence into it at all. It's just
right.
Been there.
Right.
And I think it's just something that he's wanted to try and do.
Yep.
I mean, Lawrence does other sports. I mean, this morning he had golf this morning, and he does have swimming regularly.
Yep.
And he plays tennis.
Yep.
And he does, he did ice skating for a long time, and he got a lot of badges and things in that. Well, hang on a minute. He wants to say something. Hang on.
Yeah.
And skiing.
Skiing. You're a man of many trades, my friend.
Yeah. The skiing was quite easy for him because after the ice skating, the skiing, it was a similar sort of discipline and everything.
Yep.
So in terms of, hang on, he thought of something else. Hang on.
And roller skating.
this guy definitely loves it. Yeah. On the feet.
Well, the skiing was, the skating obviously made the skiing easier, and then obviously especially roller blades that he has. That's quite an easy transition.
Yeah.
So he's quite useful. Coordination, you know, on his feet. He can go backwards and crossovers and little jumps and stuff.
Yeah.
So in terms of actual fitness and ability and exercise, I mean, he has had a good all-round interest in things. And okay, the Atlas stones and maybe his occasional dinny training or something that he might do, or lifting a concrete block that's an offcut of something I might have cut off. So who knows? That's all kind of incidental. He does seem to enjoy it and want to improve in it, but it's not his only
sort
of physical exercise.
Right. But you know something, a nice thing, Charlie, is this. The strength he's building with you, it's going to convert to everything else he does. I don't have to tell you that. And Lawrence, if you don't know that, you do now. Because when you're out lifting things that are maybe not balanced, or you're stone lifting or sandbag lifting or whatever, these things are going to help all the sports you're doing now. And, you know, when you can lift things standing up, of course you're going to be dynamite on your feet, whether it's skiing, roller skating, roller blading, ice skating, skiing, you know, like I said, anything. And that's the beauty I love about weightlifting and stones, because it's stuff that can be translated into your life. And by that I mean this. Not only can you become exceptional in the sports you choose, but you become exceptional mentally. And by that I mean you're going to learn that sometimes it's going to take struggle to get to where you want to get. And it's good to learn that now, because there's too many adults, and I can tell you that the first sign of struggle, they quit. And the last thing I remember my dad used to say to me is, never quit something that you want to do or love to do, because what ends up happening is, if you start getting into that type of pattern, you'll quit everything that gets tough your whole life. So all these things with the weightlifting and the stones and all that, they're going to build a mental capacity in you. By that I mean you're going to be able to, you've become very strong to be able to do these things, and you become mentally strong. And you probably don't even think about that because you're a young man, but as you get older, you're going to realize that all these things you did when you were younger are going to make you so much better as you grow into adulthood and beyond. So I'll ask you this. When you go to lift a stone, let's just say the Atlas stones, the Ard Blair stones, when you walk up to a stone, are you thinking about the weight of the stone, or are you just automatic? Do you have no fear of it? You go up and grab it. How do you approach something like that if you have an approach?
This is to me, Eric.
No. Okay.
Okay. Well. I mean, as far as the Ard Blair stones go, I know exactly what they all weigh. I know them all inside out. I know what they feel like. I know everything about them.
Yep.
So it's not like I'm approaching something me personally for the first time. So I know when it's going to get tough, or have a preconceived idea of what I'm going to be capable of, which maybe is an unhealthy thing when I approach them.
Yep.
I've pretty much done most of the stone, like the Inver stone, I've done that a few times now. And I suppose, but the first time I ever approached the Inver stone, I remember thinking it was pretty tough, and I was quite taken aback because I'd done the Delwinnie stone before that, which is the A9, and it's a bit lighter. And that was my introduction to stone lifting, and I didn't really know what to expect. And I was quite pleased with that because I got it on my shoulder.
Yep.
But I hadn't really sort of trained. It was really, really early days of taking interest in the stones. And it transpires that the Delwinnie was one of the lighter ones. Sorry, I was going to ask Lawrence. Like, Lawrence, what do you think when you, like, if you're doing the Ard Blair stones and stuff? What do you think about what it weighs? Or,
it feels kind of like rough because it's concrete.
Yep.
And then there's like loads of little bubble holes.
Yep.
And you can feel like your skin rubbing against the sharp bits in the middle.
Yep. Yep.
And when you're lifting it, it feels kind of like smooth because obviously it's round, so it isn't like bumping into the air. It's like just like running through it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And they're quite fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's the nice thing about a stone. You get the feel of it. I'm trying to think the exact verbiage. Steve Jeck, who was the gentleman that got me very interested in stones, and Steve's been, was quite an athlete his whole life. And I remember when he went to Iceland to lift the Húsafell stone, and he said it was, you have to get to know the stone. It basically what he was saying is the stone has to become part of you and you part of it. And the thing that I always found very intriguing about stones, especially when you go after a famous manhood stone like that, was I always think, who has lifted this stone besides Steve Jeck? You know, and I knew there was a few others before that, but it's a very intriguing thing when you go over and you face off with one of these big stones, and you feel, you know, like you said, bubbles in the stone, and it's sharp, and the crevices in a stone, and all that, and it makes the whole journey to do stuff like this very intriguing to me. You think about it, but one thing I found with lifting stones is I try at times, and most of the time, is to remove as much thought as I can from it, because it can work in a different way on you if you're doing that. So what I always do when I'm going to go after a stone is I acknowledge it, I show it respect, but I walk up and know that I'm going to lift it and do whatever I have to do with it, whether it's lifting them off the ground, whether it's lifting it off the ground and walking it around. And that's the beauty of it, because after you put it down and you've completed your goal, to me, that's when the real celebration starts. And that's what I love about all of this type of stone training and stone lifting, because it's a very individual, personal thing to me. You can have everybody around you cheering for you and pushing you, but let me tell you, at least for me, and I'll send this right back to Charlie, is this. To me, stone lifting is a very personal thing. I love the feel of something like that. I like the idea that either I'm going to make it or I'm not, and there's no excuses for the day, no matter what happens. So, Charlie, take it away, please.
Yeah, it is a personal thing, Eric. It's it's almost like kind of like a sort of semi sort of spiritual thing, if you like. It's
yep.
But then sometimes I approach a stone and I've overthought it too much.
Yeah.
I've made myself nervous.
Yep.
And I can just feel the strength leeching out of me because of some psychological condition I've worked myself up into.
Yep.
Even before I've even tried it. And other times I can approach something like a heavy object or something without thinking about it and treat it like it's just part of a job on the farm or work.
Yep.
And then it's just lighter. And I've just, sometimes you think that if you psych yourself up and you're going to get yourself into a frenzy mentally before you lift it, it's going to be an advantage. And I think sometimes that it can just exhaust you and you can make too big a thing out of it in your head.
Yeah.
And it can play havoc with you. It can
just
fuck around with you.
Yeah.
Like you take somebody who has never lifted the stone before, but they're fairly able, and they don't really know the significance of the historic stones or the Scottish stones or the fact that there's even, you know, they're just not particularly bothered, but they're there for the ride. And then they'll lift it easily.
Yeah.
Because they don't have all the weight of the pressure of knowing what it is and what it stands for and how many other people have lifted it. It's quite interesting. It's you can almost have, it's almost like too much respect for the stone and lift it.
Right.
Just overthinking
it.
You
right. Know? What I have found is you're right on the money, because I've done it here just with the weights, obviously. You have a goal, a big goal, and you're thinking about it, and you're really ready to roll, and you get in there, and you fall flat on your face, literally. It feels like someone drained all the strength out of your body, and you're fighting for the lightest of the lightest weights that normally would be nothing but a warm-up for you. And this is what happens. And, you know, this is, to me, I used to look at it as a total negative, but it's really a teaching moment for you, because you hit it right on the money where you said, you know, you can overthink and you just fall on your face, where someone that is there to lift it maybe isn't up on all the history of it, and they walk up to it and just blow it right off the ground. And you're like, wow, what happened here? Well, what happened here is they didn't sit there and just keep reading into it. And, you know, you and I and a lot of people, you'll sit there and you analyze things. And that can be one of the worst things you can do, because at that point you have mentally burned yourself out. And when you can't connect or reconnect to your physical end, it's not going to end up becoming the outcome you wanted all along. So, you know, that's what I love about this stuff. It's a very close to the edge, no matter what it is we do with this stuff, because you're either on or you're not. And as I said a little while ago, there's no excuses. Either that stone comes off the ground or stones, or it doesn't. And you got to be man enough to know that, all right, it didn't work out this time, but there's going to be another day. And that's what I love about this stuff. In my case, it's a little longer distance to get there, but, you know, you want the same outcome no matter whether you're living in Scotland or you're here in America. That's the way it is. I know we're getting near time and everything, but I'll ask Lawrence one last question, and then I'll go to you, Charlie. Lawrence, what do you think as far as the younger kids, I mean, with going with the Ard Blair stones and the future of stone lifting, what do you think's going to happen? Is this tradition going to keep going for a long, long time? Or, you know, we see here in America a lot of activities and sports being kind of like, well, you know, they're dangerous, this, that, and the other thing, which it couldn't be any further from the truth with me. But in your case, with stone lifting, do you see this going into the future forever or what?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably? Well, that's a good thing, because that's a future you never want to lose. Believe me, those traditions, as I always say, they're set in stone, and I think they're one of the greatest things, and, you know, I hope you all appreciate it, because let me tell you, when I'm sitting here talking to you two, you know, I can admire and envy what you do from far away, because a guy that's just dying to get over there, it's nice to hear, you know, a young gentleman like yourself talk about him, and obviously the respect I have for your father. Charlie, we'll finish this with this last question for you, because obviously you've been part of this stuff for a long time, and I know you've got other goals and stuff. Where do you see stone lifting? Let's just talk your neck of the woods, Iceland. We obviously know Ireland. You know, Stevie had told me that he was working on famous stones of Ireland. If you had to look into a crystal ball 25 years from now, what do you think?
The future of stone lifting.
Yes, sir.
Well, certainly if the Dinnies are anything to go by, I think possibly largely encouraged or prompted by the Stoneland documentary which came out, which I imagine that a lot of your listeners have
yep,
seen.
Yep.
That seems to have really increased the popularity of the Dinnies. And I think that with the Dinnies, obviously the Inver is just down the road, and I think a lot of people are doing the Inver. And I'm hoping it's not just a sort of like a blip, but there does seem to be an increased interest, I would say, recently.
Yep.
And obviously, there's a long-term nature of these things. Like, Donald Dinny was 150 years ago or something. And
yeah,
this is sort of just only starting now to be what seems to me to be quite a significant rise in the number of people taking on the Dinnies. I hope it's long-term. I really do. Sometimes, you've asked me before if you think, I think it will go mainstream, and I'm not really sure it would ever go mainstream, because people are obsessed with weights and uniformity and having things exactly the same and being in the same conditions every single time.
Right.
And then competitions, and then kind of beating each other, and then holding it for this amount of seconds, all that. So, and then it starts to become, I think it takes away the sort of the essence of what the whole stone lifting is about. It becomes less of a sort of spiritual, pure thing to my mind, which has been going on for decades, to becoming sort of commercialized, and then something, then it would just ruin it.
Yeah, yep.
And people, as I said before, I think in previous podcasts, people will be lifting a stone, they'll obsess about the weight rather than the shape of it or the texture of it or what it's actually doing to your arms or the ground conditions. And, yeah, it's so in that sense, I don't think it would ever go mainstream. And quite honestly, I don't think I'd want it to. No. I want it to be popular.
Yep.
And I'd like it to be, I'd like people to embrace it and take it on. But I think it would kill it if it had rules ascribed to it. And
yeah. Yep. Well, I'll tell you this. When I come over next year, we're going to shoot a whole documentary from Iceland right through. You know, I'm planning with the idea of possibly being over there for a month. And that means doing everything that Martin and I had talked about. And now, you know, with the invite to Ireland, I'm going to shoot stuff that will be mind blowing and I'm going to put out stuff. Now, I mean mainstream, I guess, in the light of where I want everyone to know what this stuff is, but I'll tell you why it won't go mainstream. In my opinion, you hit upon the whole thing. You know, rules, weather, the whole thing. But you know why it won't ever go mainstream is because I've seen some of the strongest guys in this neck of the woods who will walk up to a 220-pound Atlas stone that can deadlift over 700 pounds. They might be able to get it on their lap, but they won't stand up with it. And that's why I know it'll never go mainstream, because there's too many people out there to think that, okay, I can bench 550, I can squat 850, I can deadlift, I don't know, 750, 820, whatever. But when I come up to an inverse stone, I can't even roll it up the front of my chest. All right? So that's my opinion why it will never go mainstream, because I saw this at the big gym I used to go to. That was one of the hardest core gyms ever. It was called the Steel Pier. And we started getting into more and more of this odd lifting where we would bring our own thick bars in there with the dumbbell handles and things of that nature. And, you know, I knew a lot of the power lifters, and a lot of them were very strong people. And they would be looking at everything, and like when we would start all the dead start squats and all that, hey, you want to try it? No. Well, why? Well, you know, I'm getting close to a contest, or, you know, basically one guy told me there was no relevance to any of it. And I looked at him, I said, well, you keep thinking that. But what it came down to, Charlie, was fear. They were used to walking around there with their chests all pumped up out. With all the people there at the time, we'd be there on a Saturday morning. Let's face it, no one wants to see themselves go up in smoke, because everybody's used to them pulling whatever they want. See, you and I both know, most people do the things that they're good at and comfortable. I never cared about that. I never cared what somebody thought about my training, because, see, that's why I've gotten into all these obscure things I have. Because if you worry about public opinion with what you do when you're doing stuff that we like to do, you're never going to do it. And you're never going to be good at it. And okay, maybe you're a good deadlifter or a good squatter, and that's what you're going to stick with. Okay, that's great. This is why it'll never go mainstream. Because most people will not put their neck on the chopping block and take that chance. And especially when we're talking endorsements and money. So that's my opinion. And you got anything on that? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I've seen that firsthand myself. Right?
Yeah.
There's been some very, very high profile athletes taking part in the Highland Games, and they have maybe a good reputation in the world of strongman as well.
Yep.
And they've considered having a shot at the Arbor Stone, but they've just not done it in case they fail, and it'll look bad, because this is a situation here where the members of the public are doing it, everybody can do it, it's free, it's not exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly these top athletes are pitting themselves against normal people.
Oh yeah.
And I think that in a few instances I've seen, I just think that they don't want to suffer the embarrassment of basically a normal member of the public getting their hands on a kit which they normally use in training.
Yeah.
And then suddenly realize, hang on a minute, maybe this isn't as hard as I thought.
Yeah.
They just So yeah, I have sort of seen that, Eric. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's interesting
because nobody's judging anybody and everybody's supportive of each other.
Yes,
and it's just a shame that that's the case. But I have seen it. Yeah,
yeah. Egos are egos, and you know we know where all that is. But you know that's one thing I like about, especially where you guys all are. You know, you're out in the middle of nowhere, lifting big things, and unless you're with a group of guys, maybe a couple of them. You know, the only thing that's out there noticing you are blades of grass, maybe some birds in the trees, the wind or whatever, some cars going by. I just think that's the essence of lifting. And that's why I've gravitated so much to so many different things, like with the steel stones and the river stones I've got here and the Atlas stones. Is that the only thing I do? No. I still believe you got to do some weight training too, and I love weights and I would never give them up. But that's the difference between me and a lot of other people, and as I said, yeah, of course I want to do well. Of course I want to compete with the others. But you know something? I'm also not afraid of failure, because if you're not failing, you're not succeeding, and that's the way it is. Charlie, I'll get right back to you, but I want to say goodbye to Lawrence and thank
okay,
him for
I'll
being...
Pass, I'll pass okay. over so you can
okay.
say goodbye. Here he is.
Okay. Lawrence?
Bye.
Well, I want to ask you one thing before we say goodbye. What do you think, in your opinion, let's just look at next year. Do you have any goals for the stones? I mean, do you want to lift a bigger Atlas stone? Have you thought about any of that stuff? Or do you have any plans for next year with stone training?
Trying to lift the second Odd Blast stone.
And how do you know how much that weighs?
Trying to lift the second Odd Blast stone.
Okay.
Which is 32 kilograms. Onto the barrel.
Wow, that's awesome. Holy cow. 32 kg. That is awesome. So you're going to be up near like a 70-pound stone. That's unbelievable. I love it. Well, let me tell you something. You're always welcome to come on Motivation and Muscle with me. Obviously, we'll be tracking your progress. I want to thank you for coming on. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on. And, You're quite an accomplished young man, and thanks for being with us today, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, sir. Charlie?
Hi, Eric.
We could talk forever here, but you got quite a couple nice kids there, and
thanks.
Obviously we're going to be tracking Lawrence, and if your daughter's going to be doing stuff the same way there, this is, to me, like I said, they're rising stars. This is the future coming up behind us, and I hope we get a bunch of them. I really do. It's going to be a better world, and we're going to have natural-born leaders, and, you know, I just think it's where I want to go with the show, obviously, and we've got a couple big things with a new page. With Manly Men, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff with articles and video, and we really want to restore a lot of things that men do, right down to how to hold a fork, and you know, right down to dress. Dr. Wong and I have come up with this, and Douglas Graham is doing a lot of work with the web page. We're going to have that up, I hope, within the next 10 to 12 days. And we're going to be launching a lot of that stuff where you're literally going to be able to go out on my webpage, out on Fiorello Barbell, and put, you know, you want to write an article, whatever. But we're really going to push this hard because we want the young men like Lawrence and Danny and all these kids that, look, here's an opportunity to learn and grow with men that really want to guide and aren't perfect, but are more than willing to help you out. So I can't wait till this gets rolling. And obviously we are going to be putting out my etched in stone product. That's going to be big time too. So Charlie, anything you want to add, summarize anything, if there's any, things coming up you're getting involved with, lay it all out there. I'll put my info out and we'll sign off till the next show, my friend.
Well, thanks again for having me, Eric. I'll just say that, on December the 16th, which I talked about in my previous podcast, I've got an event, a free event for Ard Blair Stones at Hostile Strength and Conditioning Gym in Motherwell.
Okay.
If anybody's interested, I have a Facebook page called the Ard Blair Stones, which you might want to check out for events and things. And there's also a YouTube channel called the Ard Blair Stones, which is just full of lots of different people lifting stones onto barrels. I think that's about it. But yes, again, thank you very much from Lawrence and I. Lawrence is very, you know, I think he had a good time. He's
laughing
in the background. So thanks for having us both on.
Anytime, Charlie.
And I look forward to, you know, when we get next opportunity to speak whenever that
well,
is.
Well, hopefully we'll get you in December before the end of the year. And if things go as planned, you'll be one of the first that will be on the live call-in show if you'd like to do that. Because when we talk about educating the world, just think how that's going to be when someone can call in and talk to Charlie and myself and whomever. This next year is going to be a very intriguing time for Motivation, Muscle, and Fiorella Barbell Co., and all of you who are my family and the guests on the show. I believe we're going to have one heck of a time coming up, even better than we are now. This is what I've always wanted to do, and I want to get the stones and everything else out there like I've been doing for the last year, starting out basically with Bill Crawford and Steve Jack, and through them and through other people as yourself, we are growing with more and more stone lifters, and everybody enjoys it. And I've got plenty of notes from different lifters who've been on the show that said, you know, you've done so much for the stone lifting community, and it's just something I love to do, and I will promote anyone that, you know, is of good being and really cares about what they do. So, you know, Charlie, thank you for being on. Just hang on, and I'll put all my stuff out. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to, as I said, FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Winner's Circle, as I said, that is a top product. $247. You get 13 modules. There is just so much information on there. It's just like the shows. I mean, I didn't tell Charlie, as of today, we've got 822 shows posted in 3 years. And I've cut down a lot this year because of so many things with the business going on. This is the second show for today. I think I've done the most I've done probably in a long time. We did 5 shows this week. Just incredible stuff. The material is just unbelievable. And we had Lawrence on today, who I hope will come on here in the future. This is what we want to do. We want to not only have great lifters, but better yet, people of real quality. And now we can bring their sons and daughters on here, or both. And we are, you know, showing another generation that there are things out there where you can do very well at and use things like that to make your personal life even better. So it's great stuff coming down the road. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. AHA Radio, the directory, that's where you can get Motivation and Muscle 24/7 into your car. If there's a show you'd like Charlie and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. I'm telling you, 5 words can inspire you to do magnificent things. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And as Russell Furrer says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, that's the way it is. We are strong and we are powerful and our beliefs are solid as steel, my friend, and we will keep doing it. Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business, repetition, 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 my pop. Be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor ever, he would say to every patient he walked to the door, keep smiling. I don't know if I said this on our last show, Charlie, but I'm going to tell you something very quick, and I think your kids will really appreciate it too. John Ridge used to say, keep smiling to everybody, and he was the only person in the entire world that ever said that to me. And there's a gentleman, I go food shopping for my mother to a big supermarket every Thursday very early because I'm usually up at 4:30 in the morning to 5 to do work. And this guy's name is Bob, and he works in the produce. And I've gotten friendly with him. He always says, hey, young fella, and all this. And, you know, now we know each other on first-name basis. So 3 weeks ago, I was having some a hard week, let me tell you, between this job I didn't like and all the things going on with the business. And, you know, so I'm pushing the cart around. I turn the corner. Bob's coming at me. He's like, hey, young fella. And I was like, how you doing, Bob? He says, how's everything? He always asks that. He's always upbeat. I said, things are great. You don't need to tell people. I mean, you know, and he said to me, and this stopped me in my tracks, and not much does. He said to me, keep smiling. Now, someone said to me, well, maybe he went to Doc Ridge, and I asked him, and he never did. If you don't believe there's people that aren't in the physical sense still rooting for you, that was John Ridge talking through Bob. There's no other explanation. That spun my week around, and I've been dynamite since, no matter what happens. John was the type of man who was like a father figure to me because my dad had passed away so much earlier than when I met John, and I know John is out there for me because there's no other way that could have happened through Bob. It's very important. Don't forget your loved ones ever. It means that much. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 1,000 or more of your friends because we're coming for you. We want you to join the family and the revolution for the next 30 years. It's very, very important. And as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. But we take it 2 steps further. We believe in you and we got your back. And that's not a lot of stuff you hear in today's environment. But remember this. Before we sign off with Charlie, never forget this. You're all winners and you're all champions. And if you believe in yourself, I'm telling you right now, you will go places. Charlie and Lawrence, it's an honor and it's been a pleasure. And Charlie, you have a heck of a young man, let me tell you. Should be very proud. He did a super job, my friend.
I am. Thanks, Eric.
You are welcome. Lawrence.
Bye.
Bye. We'll talk to you again. You are welcome, and we will talk to you again. You're a pleasure, and you're a fine young man. So for Charlie Oliphant, this is Eric Fiorello. This show will be up, if not tomorrow, it will be up Monday morning. I can't wait to get this up because this is what I believe in, and this is where we're going. So have a great weekend, everybody. We will talk to you soon. And remember, life is calling upon you to do great things. Measure up and do it because there's a lot of people out there that need your help. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.